I want to take a serious moment to lift up what I think most folks know. Last Sunday morning, a beloved member of our church, Elaine Kowaleski, died. And I invite us to take a moment of silence together to hold her and her family up in our hearts. So, if our mission statement becomes building the beloved community in the spirit of life through compassion, respect, and empowerment, that might feel like a lot of pressure. If I'm at the grocery store and somebody is annoying the heck out of me and I want to give them a piece of my mind, I might feel weighed down by this commitment to being an agent of compassion. Actually, deep kindness could be a beautiful game changer in that situation. As we work on one of our priorities of women's rights and reproductive justice, and if it remains mostly women coming out to do the work, you might have an inkling that men don't deserve any more empowerment than they already have. When actually, true spiritual empowerment is exactly what many men do need, and we can help to provide. So the question is, how do we transcend our reality and bring these promises of compassion, respect, and empowerment into reality? I think Rev Rob is right, or should I say the right Rev Rob, or the most Rob Right Rev. No, I got it right the first time. Rev Rob is right when he says that by going deeper within ourselves to take our faith more seriously, we increase our impact in the wider world. And I think it's also true that we are empowered by those who have gone before us living out this mission. In order to transcend our reality and live out our mission, we lift up in our mind's eyes those folks living in Germantown during the brutal times of the Civil War. Many worked to end slavery and committed to create a new Unitarian congregation on the corner of Chelton and Green. They hired the son of one of the greatest abolitionists to be the architect of the building. In order to transcend our reality and live out our mission, we lift up the USG folks of the 1920s who grew out of their britches and left behind that beautiful building to expand to the verdant area of Lincoln Drive in order to ever more boldly live out their faith. In order to transcend our reality as agents of empowerment, we hold tight our memories of the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Many folks in this congregation fought against segregation and housing, redlining, by going door to door. I can see Bernice Mitchell now. She told me these stories for many years. She went door to door knocking, and when somebody would answer the door, she would say, "Thank you for taking a moment with me to talk about the critical importance of developing our neighborhood, Mount Airy, as a place for all people, including black and white, to live safe, happy lives together. This is really important. I'm glad we're taking the time to talk about it and hopefully work for it together." Although the mission has not always been written out with the same words we have before us today, we treasure the stories of people living out the spirit of the mission. The Bonanno family went through the painful fires of loss after the murder of their daughter, Lady. This church rose up like a rocket ship, fueled by love, helping the family to keep their heads above grief. Kathy wrote a scriptural book of poems and took it around the nation, giving light to folks lost in darkness. And now she has started Muse House, a place for the empowerment of cultural arts. This year, Two beloved members of the church have died, Edna Jones and Elaine Kowaleski. Elaine was a brilliant, kind, generous person, and on Saturday, July 14th, we'll celebrate her life right here. The story with Edna goes like this. She was 64 years old and had very few people remaining in her life. She could have decided that was the way her life was bound to be for however much longer she was to live. But Edna did not accept fate or just roll over. At age of 64 years old, Edna Jones drove to a new church, parked the car, walked down the winding sidewalk, shook the minister's hand, and then dove in to meeting folks. Using courageous improvisation, Edna composed a new stage of her life. She opened her heart, came in. It wasn't always easy, not just a red carpet walk down the lane. Sometimes she had to elbow her way in. She gave generously of service and made lasting friendships. And friends, this is a lesson for all of us. No matter what our age or context, you can create, many times you need other people to do it, but you can create a new stage of your life. Another element of Edna's living, which resonates deeply as an example of living out our mission, is how she dealt with her cancer, sickness, and dying. Edna was a very independent person. She lived by herself for her entire adult life, told me she could not imagine any other way. But when she got really sick, she knew she had some major choices to make in front of her. She could have buckled down the hatches and gone it alone into the tough, stormy night, but she did not. When she fell ill with cancer and began to learn that much of her life had to change, Edna not only opened up to accept help, she lined it up. She asked Linda Bernstein to serve as her power of attorney. She asked Peter Walsh to serve as her medical advocate. Peter and Marnie and Linda and Mark were devoted, caring friends to Edna. So were countless others. Edna asked folks of this congregation to drive her to the hospital and the doctors. She accepted meals. Folks did her laundry, took out her garbage, shopped for her groceries, and more. This is a dying woman surrounded by love, so powerful you could feel it every day. This is a church family, and Edna helped us to become the strongest family possible around her. Our mission statement says, beloved community, you could say church family. There's some interchangeable language. This means unconditional love and sticking together through thick and thin. And when somebody comes looking for spirituality or love, we open up. This is Edna's story. This is our story. This is the story of the mission statement and core beliefs and values that we have before us. I want to ask briefly, everybody who helped Edna in some way or another, please stand up right now. Please don't be humble or shy, but I want to see them. Please stand up. Please stand up. If you helped her, I'm asking you, you might wonder what I'm doing here. Take a look around. Edna allowed us to serve just like she would have served any of us if we were overtaken with cancer. And the thing is that she asked and received. This is what we do. We just had a beautiful family church event at the retreat last week, and a lot of folks were new there. A year ago, we had a very fine retreat. Some folks got together and said, I think it could be a little better for children and families. We had a vision. Folks worked all year long, and we just had 100 folks together in the woods, having good company, growing in the spirit, having a good time. Now, our core values and belief statement says that we embrace the interconnectedness of life and act on the obligation to care and the obligation to speak up and be of service in the search of justice and healing. Mission writing has the danger of being a lot of talk and no action. We know many of us have been in organizations where people work to create mission statements. They ended up collecting dust on the shelves. That can be painful, frustrating. We are committed to translating this document into action on a regular basis. Please say that with me together. We are committed to translating this document into action on a regular basis. We have to make space for more leaders to come in. Folks have to make their way into leadership. Claim your power. If you meditate on this mission statement and think this represents what you want your life to be about, you have a lot of resources in you and around you. Draw upon them. Come in. Be a leader for and with us. Stand with us in this area of the city for this mission statement. Help us put the mission into action. We have to ask and receive, so I'm going to do that right now. I'm closing with this. We have a critical need coming up at the end of July and the beginning of August. Our longtime partner, the Hospitality Interfaith Network, the homeless ministry that we are a part of, has nowhere to put four families from July 28th to August 11th. We have the physical plant. Many of our leaders have worked so hard to make that beautiful space available. It has air conditioning for homeless families in the summer. It's a big deal. But right now, we do not have the people power. So I'm asking you, as a way of putting this mission into action, if you are willing, please raise your hand if you're willing to help in some way between July 28th and August 11th. Sarah Apt, our worship associate, is going to have a clipboard after service. Can I have a few more hands? A few more hands. Thank you. Please sign up with Sarah afterwards, and then we will email you and we'll assign tasks. This is how we will transform lives as people dedicated to compassion, respect, and empowerment. Blessings be. Amen.